I'm thankful for God's word. How about you? Does anybody know what today is? Special day today. Today is Pentecost Sunday, 50 days after the time of the Passover. So they have the Passover and then you count 50 days and you're at Pentecost, which is really the spring harvest, the celebration of the spring harvest. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So it's a celebration day today. And is also the time when, on that day, that's when the Holy Spirit fell. He fell on the day of Pentecost, and that's what it is today, the day of Pentecost. And that's not where the day of Pentecost come from. It was from the Old Testament also. 50 days after the Passover, they remembered the Passover, then they had the celebration of the spring harvest. And so it was a wonderful time, and I thought we would share at least some scriptures today, and I'm not necessarily talking just about Pentecost, but I want to share about the Holy Spirit because that's when he came. He came on that very day, 50 days after that. I mean, it's very amazing when you look at the Old Testament and the New Testament. It's amazing how that came. And what really the day of Pentecost was also the day when Moses, remember when he went up Mount Sinai and he comes down with the Ten Commandments, the two tablets. And he has all these things on there. And God brought the law. And the same time, he brought the Holy Spirit. In other words, the law could not fulfill everything that God was going to bring through the Holy Spirit. But it was a type and a shadow. They had to have the law. The law was not bad. But it brought us to see our need for Christ. Amen? And at the same time, on that same day, he sent the Holy Spirit, which came and indwelt and filled man. You know, they may have been, well, actually, I mean, Jesus did breathe on the disciples and they received the Holy Spirit. Many believe, I believe it's probably they were born again at that point. But the great outpouring of the Holy Spirit, the power of God, that's what I'm talking about today, the power of God. That's what I believe God was stressing to me this week, is there's power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Amen. Okay, let's go over to, I want to start in John, we looked at this before, but John chapter 14, I want to look at it again. John 14, 16. I've got several verses today, so. But John 14, 16. Let's just start there. And here we have a promise that Jesus gave. He says, "And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever." Forever. Hallelujah. When we don't have anything else, we have the Comforter, the Holy Spirit himself that abides with us forever. Now, in the Old Covenant, they used to have a, well, it was when they got married, or they were going to be married, the bride was there, and the groom would go, and he would spend some time with the parents of the bride, and his father's involved also, and they pay the dowry or the down payment, you know, for the bride. Well, then he would leave. He leaves the bride. But during that time, he's going away to prepare the home which they're going to live, you know, with either, you know, putting a room in his father's house or whatever it may be. And when that's all ready, the father says, okay, go get the bride. And so we can see even in that, you know, Jesus came, but during that time, see, the groom would send gifts to the bride because they miss each other. And so that would kind of be her thing. You know, she would get these gifts during that time that they're apart. And so God has given us the Holy Spirit while he has gone to prepare a place for us. Hallelujah, the ultimate place. I know he went and prepared a place so that we could be where he was right there in John 14. He said, I go, you know, let not your heart be troubled, John 14, 1. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions or many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, you may be also. Now here I believe he's talking about the born again experience because he was getting ready to go to the cross. Because Jesus was the only alive person unto the Father on the earth at the time. No other person was alive unto God. We were all under the spirit, under the law, under the flesh, or the spirit of the law of sin and death. But Jesus was alive. He was under the law of the spirit of life. You know, Jesus says he came as that light. He was the one that was lit. He was the one that was alive to bring life to the earth. And he says here, I'm going to prepare a place for you. Yes, I know that it's saying that. He's saying, I'm going to prepare a dwelling place that where I am right now, I'm alive to the Father. You're going to be also. But I know that also we're going to see him face to face. So there's a twofold setting here, because he did prepare a place for us, but he's also prepared a place with him, dwelling with the Father for all eternity. See, that dwelling place begins now. See, but it doesn't end there. Hallelujah. Because we're going to all be changed in the twinkling of an eye. We'll all be with him forever. Amen. If we don't die first, you know, if we don't pass on, but if we pass, we're with him. He says, Paul says, I'm in a strait. I'm in a problem. I got a problem. I'm trying to decide. Do I want to stay here? Or do I want to go be with the Father, which is much better? But it is more needful for you right now that I stay here. He had his heart of love for the people. His heart of compassion says, I'm going to stick around a little bit longer because I know that you need me to strengthen you. You need my supply. See, we each have a supply. All of you have a supply for the body of Christ. And the Holy Spirit comes and indwells. Yes, we're indwelt and we're born again, the Bible says, by the Holy Ghost, the regenerating. Our spirit's made alive to the Father. But then we receive the power of the Holy Spirit when he comes upon us. Hallelujah. When we receive that empowerment for harvest, for our place in the kingdom, to fulfill the call that God has on each of us. And this is the promise of the Father that we had just read. And I will pray the Father, John 14:16. He's going to give you another comforter that is going to abide with you forever. And 17 says, and even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it sees him not, neither knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you, and shall be in you. Now Jesus is speaking here. He said there's a promise that's coming. Of course, we know where that leads us to. That leads us to Acts chapter 1. He says, it's necessary. It is expedient that I leave. Okay? Hallelujah. He said it is expedient. Or we would say for your benefit. It's to your best benefit, one translation says, that I go to the Father. Or else I cannot send that comforter. I cannot send the one that's going to dwell in you and be with you forever. See, the Holy Spirit is the one that comes and he seals us. That is the gift of God. That is the one that he says, hey, I'm sending him to you, that he may abide with you forever. He's going to live within us. Why? That we be comforted in his absence. We were talking about the bride that was not with, she was not yet with the bridegroom. But in my absence, I'm sending you some gifts. I'm sending you some things that you may be comforted, that you may be indwelt. I'm going to come and dwell in you with my spirit. And the time is coming. I'm leaving right now. But there's a place that's been prepared for you that you can enter into. Yes, you're born again, but then you're going to also receive that power of the Holy Spirit, this promise that was to come, the Spirit of truth that lives and abides with us, not temporarily, but forever. Our born again experience begins the moment we receive Jesus right here on earth. See, some people don't believe that. They believe, well, yeah, we get saved. We, you know, our sins are forgiven, but that's it. No, God says, I actually change you. I remove that spirit of death. Mm-hmm. I remove that old nature. I remove the old man, and I give you the spirit of life. And then that very life is going to be empowered with something. And he's called the Holy Spirit of God, the power of God which moves in. Acts 1:8, but you shall receive power after the Holy Spirit is come upon you. And ye shall be my witnesses. You're going to be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. He said, my glory is going to cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. How's that going to take place? Is God, yes, he's going to pour out his Spirit upon all flesh. But see, he pours out of his Spirit, out his Spirit. We are part of those that are going to take that Spirit, the presence of God, the life of God. Your part in the kingdom of God is empowered that you may be a witness for those right where you are, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, you know, and then uttermost parts of the world, the uttermost parts of the earth, because the earth is going to be filled with the glory of God. God's going to see to it. He's counting on you and I to allow that indwelling, that power that he rests upon us. Hallelujah. Because you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. What kind of power? The power of God. The very life of God. The very love of God. The very presence of God coming into us. And that is an anointing that lives on the inside of you, that you can fulfill the place that God has placed upon you. Each of us has that place. Each of us has our supply for the body of Christ. It may be something that everybody sees. Then again, it may be something behind the scene. And all of us have to come to that place that, Father, whatever you have for me, I'm willing. I'm able. I know that you empower me. Because without you, I can do nothing. John 5:19. Jesus says, you know, without the Father, I can do only those things. You know, he said John 5:30, but in 19 he says, I can do nothing of my own self. We can do nothing of our own self. We must have his empowerment. We must have his ability. We must have his strength. We must have his divine influence within our heart that leads us, that guides us into all that truth that he's called us unto. For we cannot stand and be anything in and of ourselves, but we stand in him. And only by his anointing and by his power can our work on earth be accomplished. When we try to do it ourselves, we are of to no avail. We may get the building built, but it's not with his might. It's not with his anointing. It's not with his power. People build kingdoms all the time in the world. They build giant places that make a lot of money. We build churches. And where is the power of God? It's in the Holy Ghost. It's in the Holy Spirit. It's in spending time with him. It's in knowing him. It's with his power, with his might, that the gospel's to go forth. Mm-hmm. It's not something that has no power. I'm telling you, I know that God spoke to me today. He spoke, well, this week, really, about the power of the Holy Ghost that lives on the inside of you. But you'll receive power when he comes upon you. And you'll be that witness. What is a witness? A witness is someone that sees something or someone and then is able to talk about it. Why? Because they saw it. When we receive the Holy Spirit, he says, I will witness to you of him. He says, I'm going to teach you of Jesus. I'm going to show you what he's like. See, the Holy Spirit becomes the teacher, and he reveals to us who the Father is, you know, through Jesus Christ. He says, I don't speak of myself. The Holy Spirit says, I'm not talking about me. I'm talking about Jesus, the bridegroom who is to come. You see, the bride's not all interested in, you know, she likes the gifts. She likes all the things that she got in between, you know, and it helps her. But she's still thinking about the bridegroom. He's coming to get me. He's going to be coming back soon. He's coming back to receive me, to take me to the house of the Father. Hallelujah. There is a good news. That Holy Ghost is not the end. It's just the down payment of the fullness of all that God has for us. Hallelujah. In eternity. Now that's eternity. Now right now, we've got that power though. He says, this is going to give you that power. This is going to teach you who I'm like. This is going to help prepare you. Hallelujah. Because Matthew chapter 3, verse 11, he said, I indeed baptize you with water, John the Baptist said, unto repentance. But he that comes after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I'm not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and fire. Hallelujah. How many know that we receive the Holy Ghost and fire? Well, why is he bringing the fire? Because that fire refines us. That fire takes us somewhere. That fire does something within us. We begin to allow the fire, it says, in, you know, that it's going to burn up the chaff with an unquenchable fire. What is the chaff? The chaff's the stalk of the wheat, isn't it? It's not the wheat itself, but it's that, you know, the wind comes. It, you know, we have a wind that blows, but whatever's left, that fire begins to burn. It begins to eat up, and it begins to purify. You know, the Bible talks about that we would be as pure gold. Hallelujah. When the fire begins to burn on the inside of us and the dross, anything that's not of God begins to rise up and it's taken off so that all that's left, it's laid aside, it's brought to the place, a boiling point. It boils up all the impurities out from within us. And we lay them aside, every idol, everything that's not like him, anything. It's not just sin, but even things that don't please him. You know, he wants all of us, things that maybe take our time. You know, some of the younger people get caught on Netflix, you know, other people are into other things. It could be a hobby, it could be anything. I know one particular minister, he used to love golf. He would go practice golf until his hands were bleeding. Hours and hours. And he said, finally, the Lord had to tell him to lay his golf clubs down. And he didn't think he was ever going to golf again. He said, he put his golf clubs down and he says, now come seek after me. You see, sometimes anything could become an idol in our life that we have to sit down. I mean, I couldn't believe it. I mean, there were times he actually showed me and I was like, wow, that's amazing. He became a very good golfer, by the way. He was getting very good down into the 60s, like some of the professionals even. And I mean, I thought, wow, I thought maybe he would turn, you know, temptation could be to turn pro, you know, if you're young enough and good enough. So there's temptations in the world, but that's the point of the fire where the Holy Spirit begins to bring up those things and we can get them out of our life. It's so that we can see them. If they're down on the inside, if they're way down, you know, if you're boiling something, you're boiling that gold and it's down, that dross is in there, it's not going to come to the surface until it's under fire. Hallelujah. Thank God for the Holy Ghost, but thank God for that fire. Amen. And also fire, you know, it not just purifies, but there's also a power to a fire. A fire is something you can see. God brings light to you, light from within you. Remember in the Old Testament, they had the pillar of fire by night. God comes in you and that fire burns in us. Hallelujah. And it begins to purify, it begins to bring up, but it also brings some light. Amen. You get by the fire, you see better. You know, you got some light. It brings light in darkness. And then also that fire, I believe, you know, there's a fire that everybody has a part to play in that. Hallelujah. God comes with that fire, but that fire purifies. That fire brings light. It also brings a warmth of the power of the Holy Ghost. There's a warmth. There's a comfort to the fire. There's some things that can happen around that fire that will not happen otherwise. That fire brings a warmth. And how many know sometimes when you're alone, When it's, you know, our bridegroom's not right there, it doesn't seem like God's far away, yet the Holy Ghost, if we'll begin to pray, if we'll continue to spend time with Him, He comes with a comfort. He comes with a strength. Hallelujah. He comes with a warmth. Now, fire can do more than one thing. Fire is also very dangerous. You know, if it's not contained in the fireplace, you know, if it's not contained in the right way, it can get out of control. You know, but the fire of the Holy Ghost is under God's control. We begin to give control to Him. As His fire burns, people see the light. They see you. You are a testimony to the presence of God. He said, you're going to be that witness. When that fire burns, you are that light. You are that one that's comforted. You're the one that's being purified. Hallelujah. And they begin to see it. I believe it burns brighter and brighter. The Bible says the path of the righteous is brighter and brighter like the noonday sun. And your path begins to become brighter because the Holy Spirit has a path for your life. He's got a plan. He's got a purpose. And that purpose becomes more and more, you know, lightened to us. We see it more and more. And there's a power, that power to be the witness. How many know when you get to see something, if I stand over here and I witness an accident on the same corner that you witness, we may have two different testimony, but we saw the same thing. We've got the same God on the inside of us. The same Holy Spirit comes to us and we see Jesus. And you say, well, I see this and I see that. And when it all comes together in the body of Christ, He's going to see that we are united together. I'm telling you, He's going to force the body of Christ to be one. Every joint has to supply, because I don't have a full picture without your supply, without your purpose, without what God's showing you. See, He showed you that, but He showed somebody else this. You know, you see people that have real revelation in certain areas. Well, we need them in the body of Christ. But we also need what God has showed you in your revelation and where God has placed you in the body. Because if every joint is not supplied, we're not going to have a full body. We're not going to have the perfection that God desires. See, the head can be perfect. He's got it all. He's directing it. But we've got to allow our hearts to be purged so that we can fulfill our place, so the body is growing and mature and becoming to that place. He says, I'm coming for a glorious church without spot or wrinkle. It's not going to be a church that's defeated, but a church filled with power, a church filled with fire. Fire also represents something that we do. We step out and everybody says, he's on fire for God. Well, what do they mean? He's very fervent. A fire produces fervency. That fire can produce a fervency on the inside of you. And sometimes, you know, we see that and we're like, wow, oh, I just sense him, his presence, his fire, his love, his goodness, all that God is on the inside of me. He said, I am like a lion also. We see the lion that roars on the inside of us. And he begins to say, yes, yes, we can do this. That fire burns. That fire purifies. Hallelujah. That fire produces in us that desire to know Him, the desire to walk with Him. And we are that testimony, that witness. That's what we're talking about. That testimony of Jesus that's on the inside of you. See, let me tell you how God, you know, brought that. See, I didn't always have the Holy Spirit on the inside of me. I was born again. I loved God. But He had to take me to a place where I was willing to realize He has promised and He will baptize me with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Hallelujah. I needed that. I needed the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit is what? The teacher. He's the comforter. He's the one that's on the inside living. And He came at a certain time right at the day of Pentecost. Hallelujah. We know that. But it wasn't always that way in my life. Yes, I was born of the Spirit, but I was not filled with the Spirit to the fullness that God wanted. Because John said here, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that comes after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I'm not worthy to bear. He's going to baptize you with that Holy Ghost and fire. Hallelujah. You know, but I didn't realize that promise was for all. Some people think it's for some and not others. And I thought for a while it was for some and not others. But of course, I received the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah, finally, in my prayer time, by myself alone, you know. I really received him in a church service, but I didn't know. I was there, and I've told this story before. But I was going to a particular denominational church, and that Sunday morning I was sitting in my seat, and I remember the pastor saying these words. He says, Jesus is here. And that's the only thing I heard out of that message. I was meditating on it that whole service, and it seemed like on the inside of me, I wanted to say something, but I had no idea what I'm supposed to say. I didn't know that the Holy Ghost would give us an utterance. I didn't realize that He would give us a language that could give us access unto the Father that was perfect. I didn't have that information on the inside of me. I never read that verse. I knew that there was a Holy Spirit. I believed I received Him by faith. But I did not know that there was a language that I could speak into the Father that would bring the very life of God to me, that would bring the very will of God to me, that would give me a supernatural experience, a supernatural tongue that would pray out the very perfect will of God for my life. I didn't have that knowledge. But as I began to meditate on that, I knew I wanted to say something. So that afternoon, I spent some time with God. I just talked to Him, and I didn't know what I'm looking for. I didn't even know what I was trying to receive. But I would just be there, and I said, Holy Spirit, help me. Help me understand. And I would do my best to yield to the Holy Spirit. You know, the best I knew how, Lord. I said, Father, and I was on that. I'm still on that scripture, Romans 12:1-2. You know, that we present our body a living sacrifice to Him. You know, I present myself, Lord, a living sacrifice to You. The best that I know how, whatever that means, Lord. And I would talk to Him about that. And I spent the afternoon talking to Him, and I could sense the presence of God. And I knew God was on me, but I didn't know. You know, I said, Lord, I'm not getting it. I don't know what I need, you know. And so that night we went to church, and my oldest brother sat next to me, right next to me. My mother's on the other side, and I was, a couple people in. Just sitting in the aisle about halfway back. We are in the church. And like normal, they were taking up the offering. But in our church, you know, during the offering, you know, we didn't sing or anything. You just listened to the person playing the piano and they passed the plate. But during that time, I don't know what came over me, but something came over me. And the Holy Spirit came over me, really. I remember lifting my hand to the Lord, and I was shaking. And I was like, wow, something definitely having an experience with God. And I said, I heard myself yell, and I heard it echo off the rafters. Fill me with the Spirit! That's what I heard. I mean, I heard it just like, I would have swore on a stack of Bibles. I had yelled that as loud as I could, right out loud in the middle of the offertory when everyone else is silent. And I was like, wow, you know. And I mean, I was kind of shaking, and my mother's over here. Oh, I wonder what's wrong with him. You know, like there was something wrong with me. And it wasn't a big commotion, but a little bit, you know. And I thought, you know, so that happened. And I asked the pastor, you know, afterwards, you know, I said, well, I saw some kind of light come over you, but I wouldn't worry about it. And I said, well, I wasn't worried. I was just trying to understand. And he didn't know what happened to me. And so I asked my older brother, you know, and I said, man, I yelled out during the service. He says, no, you didn't yell out during the service. I said, I did. I heard myself, though, fill me with the Spirit, loud as could be. He said, no, you just mumbled something. I said, I did. Oh, and I didn't know I'd mumbled something. But later on, you know, during some of my prayer times, I would begin getting these words, you know. Yidabadabo, you know, and I would ask myself, because I didn't know anything about it, but I heard somebody talk about tongues a couple of times, and I said, I wonder if that's tongues. You know, I really didn't know. I'd never heard anybody speak in tongues. I never, you know, not really. You know, not that I knew of anyway. And so I'd every once in a while in my prayer time or if I'm quiet, you know, I'm taking a shower or something, you know, and I'm just thinking of the Lord, these words would come up. E-I-E-I-O-E-I-B-O-O. you know, just kind of baby talk. And I thought, I wonder if that's tongues. I had no idea. And this went on for a little while, and I wasn't worried about it, but I didn't know, you know, I could pray in that language. I didn't know it was even a language. I just knew that the Holy Spirit had moved in. I did know something's different, but I didn't know what it was. And so as I went along that year, that summertime, I met a particular person that explained to me, you know, I thought, well, I guess some people pray in tongues and some don't. And I really wasn't praying in tongues. I didn't know I could, you know, other than those few little syllables, which I found out later was tongues. And so I don't know why I'm getting into all this, but it's good anyway. So the whole thing was, is I thought, well, some people must pray in tongues and maybe some don't. You know, because I read one time in Acts over here that they, you know, were filled with the Holy Spirit and they prophesied. Okay, we don't know that it wasn't the same people, which it probably was. It's in the same chapter. But I gave that verse out and I ran into a friend. I said, Lord, I gotta have some help. I don't really understand. And so I ran into this guy and it was late at night. And he was just come down. Where I was going is to a coffee house. And from there, we would go out and witness on the street to people, you know, and pass out tracts and talk to people about the Lord. And sometimes we would just have a band in there and try to witness to the people that came in off the street. And he had a witnessing team on foot for Jesus. And he would get on the radio, invite people down to go witnessing. And so I went down there and I happened to run into this guy. He really didn't want to be there. It's about 11 o'clock at night. We'd just gotten back from the streets. And I just, for some reason, I just started talking to him. And for some reason, I started talking to him about the Holy Spirit. I don't even remember why. I said, well, you know, I think some people pray in tongues and some don't. And he says, give me a verse. And I gave him a particular verse. I said, well, they were filled with the Holy Spirit and they prophesied. He said, okay, I'll give you that one. Give me another one. And I know I shared this before, but in 1 Corinthians 14, Paul says, do all speak with tongues? And what he's talking about is in a given service. No, all don't speak in tongues in the service, but yes, all speak in tongues in their own private life. And so he says, I'll give you that one. Give me another one. I didn't have any more. And so he began to talk to me. I can't remember everything he said, but I realized I'm wrong and he's right. That's all I knew. It seemed like the Holy Spirit was talking directly to my heart. And I said, oh, Lord, forgive me. And I remember I fell on my face and I began to weep. And I said, Lord, I didn't know. Forgive me. Forgive me, Lord. I didn't realize you're for everybody. I see it now. I see it. And it was just an enlightening that the Holy Spirit gave me. And I guess I spent maybe 5 minutes there and I asked the Lord to forgive me. I got up and he was gone. I didn't know where he went. So I went outside for a minute, and there he was. They were in the car, and he says, you want to come over and pray with us? We're going to pray all night. I said, okay, you know, I'd be glad to come over. So I followed him over to their apartment, and we prayed. And he says, well, we're just going to start praying in tongues. I said, okay. So I started praying in tongues, just like, you know, nobody, you know, just like I knew how to do it. And I did, I guess. So it became a change in my life. And I knew that the Holy Spirit, he said, well, what was it like? I was trying to explain it to someone. And all I knew is I said, I was down here, but I know after I prayed in tongues, I was up here. That's about as far as I could explain. I just knew I was different. I was up here. It's like I was down here and then I was up here. And so it was a building up of ourselves, a building up of the life of God that was on the inside of us. See, sometimes we come to God, and when our spirit is so weak, it doesn't really live for God, or it's having struggle with God, then the Holy Ghost comes, and he causes us to be built up on our most holy faith. How? Praying in the Holy Ghost to let us rise from whatever level of God we're in to a new level of God. And he will always take us from place to place because the Holy Spirit is the one that comes and enlightens us and helps us to know where we are or where we are not in the plan of God for our life And he is the one that knows how to get us there. He's the one that prays it out. Hallelujah. I thank God for the day of Pentecost. I thank God for the Holy Ghost, because he's the one that comes and comes on the inside of us to be with us forever, to be our teacher, to be our guide, to be our comforter, to be our strengthener, to be the one that purifies us. Hallelujah, and causes us to burn red hot for God. The red hot love of the Holy Ghost lives on the inside of us, and that's what pursues God. He draws us to him. He is the one that comes. He says, no man cometh to the Father except the Holy Spirit draw him. And the more and more he's on the inside of us, he's drawing us to know him, that we might know him in the fullness, that we might be a testimony, a witness of his power, of his life, of who he is and what he'll do. And then that power flows through you. That power begins to flow through us. That's the other part of the witness. Amen. How many know? When you know him and you pray for the sick and they recover, there's the testimony of Jesus. Mm-hmm. Right from the inside of the very nature of Christ, it's on the inside of you. Yes. We don't really do the work, but we yield to the one that does the work. The Holy Ghost causes us to help yield our will to the will of the Father. When our will is fully yielded to the will of the Father, the very life of God is released. The very nature of Christ, which is to heal, which is to forgive, which is to love, which is to release from burdens, which is to free from the power of the devil. His love, his compassion flows. He said, out of the belly will flow rivers of living water. Out of our innermost being, out of our spirit, is going to flow the river of life-giving water. To all men, freely, Jesus said, you've received. Freely we can give. Because the Holy Spirit came to live on the inside. He didn't come just to be with us, but he came as our friend, as our teacher, as our guide, as a fire, and as a revealer of who Jesus really is. And as a power to flow through us, that all men may see that Jesus is the Master, that he is King, that he is Lord. And there's nothing we can do but to let his light shine, because it lives on the inside of us. His love, his light, his kingdom comes. His will begins to be done as it is in heaven, so on earth. Hallelujah. We become those that are available to meet the need of mankind, because he says that we would be that testimony of Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. It's the promise of the Father. Joel 2:28 said, and it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. And we know that Peter repeated that in Acts chapter 2. I haven't read near all the scriptures that we have, but that's okay. But let's go to Acts 2 for a minute. We're going to actually get to where, let's just go with verse 4. Well, let's go 1 through 4, Acts chapter 2. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, we're talking about Pentecost today, the promise. They were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly, has anybody ever had a suddenly in their life? Suddenly, there came a sound from heaven, and of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the house where they were sitting. And I'm reminded right now, just reminded, I used to work at a 7-Eleven store. And I remember when suddenly the Holy Ghost came. He spoke to me. There's this particular lady. She'd come into the store all the time. She was probably in her 40s, early 40s. And she used to be and still was really one of the prostitutes in the area and had given her life into that a lot. She wasn't so, I'm sure she wasn't quite as chosen as she used to be, but, you know, she had done that kind of a life, and she had a son that was 13, and he had gotten in trouble with the law, and she was very distraught this day. And the Holy Spirit spoke to me. He said, I want you to ask her if you could pray for her, and I want you to pray for her peace. And she came up, and I remember she grabbed a candy bar, and she slaps it on the counter, you know, and it was there, and you could tell she's all upset. And I said, could I pray for you? And she said to me, she said, would you? I said, yes, I would. And I remember taking her by the hand, and I said, Father, I thank you for the peace of God to touch her. And just like you took an egg and you cracked it and opened it up, whoosh, like a rushing wind, the peace of God filled that store. It just filled that place and touched her. And these words came out of my mouth to my utter shock and amazement. She says, I have not felt that since I was in my grandfather's church as a child. And I just, wow, I was so amazed. It was so amazing. One obedience to the voice brought the presence of God. One slight, just a request, Father, give her peace. I didn't, no fancy prayer, nothing like that. But suddenly, I had a suddenly moment. She had a suddenly moment with the Lord. And she remembered that presence. It's so important. He is so wonderful. He'll testify through you of who God is. See, God is the peace that passes understanding. The Holy Spirit comes and just blew her. Just blew all that stuff off her mind. Blew all that stuff out of her. And she knew God came. Amen. Sometimes there's a suddenly, and it comes like a sound from heaven, as of a rushing mighty wind. It filled the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire. And it sat upon each of them. And they were filled with the Holy Ghost. And they began to speak, hallelujah, with other tongues, as the Spirit gave them utterance. Or He gave them the words to say. When we don't know what to say, when we are at our worst, sometimes there's other moments, we don't know what to do. The Holy Ghost is within us, and He'll pray through you, the very mind of the Father. Sometimes we have a midnight hour. Hallelujah. Anybody had a midnight hour in your life? I know I've had a midnight hour time or two. Somebody calls, they're at the brink of death. Or maybe somebody you know has a midnight hour. My friend called me not long ago, contacted me. His daughter and his grandson were thrown from a vehicle in a car accident. It did not look good. His grandson was okay. He had broken his leg in four places. He seemed to be all right, seemed to be recovering normally. But his daughter, she had not responded at all. She had no response for 6 days. Not a sign. Doesn't look good. She's on life support. But within those 6 days, we continue to pray, believe God. He said, please stand with me. I said, all right. He didn't say anything else. He wasn't trying to talk about the situation, because how many know sometimes when you're in the midnight hour and it doesn't look good, you can't be talking about the situation, but we talk to the answer, and Jesus is our answer. And the great Holy Ghost was faithful. And on that sixth day, they walked in there and they talked him into it to where, well, his ex-wife and him were able to go in together, and they prayed for her and they talked to her, and she talked back, and she moved every part of her body, every limb in her body. And they took the life support off her, and she's breathing on her own. And she is nothing less than a miracle of God. Because the life of God. See, that's the power of the Holy Ghost. When you know Him, when you walk with Him, when He can flow in such a way. At the midnight hour, we don't know how to praise. We know His plan. We know what He wants to do. But we don't have to speak it all out. We've got the Holy Ghost that helps us. That tongue begins to come forth and the very life of God begins to flow. And we don't have to know it all. We don't have to have every answer. But hallelujah, He will come in power. Suddenly, the Holy Ghost came. With a rushing mighty wind, filled the house where they were sitting. Hallelujah. And that's not just one time, but He comes again. I remember another time I'd been at prayer and I came home about, it probably was 10:30 at night. We'd been in prayer. We had prayer at the church and I'd still kind of come home praying, but had some laundry I needed to do. And I was living in my own apartment by myself. I wasn't married yet, so this was a while ago. A couple days ago. We've been married 32 years. So it was at least that long ago. So I came home and I said, I think I'll go down and throw a load of laundry in the washer. Well, as soon as I came up to my apartment, there's another guy that lived in another apartment and he was outside and I could tell he'd been, you know, he was drinking a beer or something, you know, and he's crying. And like some people do when they get into alcohol. I don't know why people drink alcohol. It's a depressant, by the way, you know. And so he was thinking of all his problems and he's crying, you know, I don't know. Can you help me? Can you help me? He says, can you help me? So I said, I walked over there for a moment and he's sitting in this chair outside his apartment, just there feeling sorry for himself. And I said, well, I can't help you, but I know who can. And his name is Jesus. I said, He loves you and He's got a plan for you and He can set you free. And something on the inside of him rose up. He gets all angry. And he was going to hit me, you know, and I said, in Jesus' name. And some guy was, I don't know, walking by. He's going to hit you. I said, no, he's not. I said, in Jesus' name, he's not going to hit me. I said, do you want to be free or not? And he ran off. He took off, went somewhere. I don't know where he went, but he just left. Okay. So I go to my apartment, get my clothes. I throw them in the washer. Everything's fine. I'm up. I just, you know, was going to stay up a little bit. And I was praying a little bit more, just kind of relaxing. Join the presence of God after prayer and so forth and just being there. And I said, well, I need to go down and throw them in the dryer. Well, I go down to throw them in the dryer and here he came walking back. So I'm over here and near the laundromat, outside the laundromat, and he came walking back and I said, well, do you want to be set free or not? He said, yeah, I do. I want help. And I didn't know for sure what to do. So I just began to pray for him. I started praying in tongues. I'm laying my hands on him. You know, I said, I'm just going to pray for you. And I started praying the Holy Ghost. And I'm praying and praying and praying about 5 minutes. Just like suddenly, wham, he hits the concrete. He just went out. Now it was, oh God, now what am I going to do? Here he is, totally laid out in the concrete. And I was going, thank you, Jesus. And it seems like an eternity, you know, because I'm like, well, I hope he gets up, you know. But I'm saying, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. He's free. Hallelujah. And so it finally gets up. I said, let's pray. And I lead him through into a prayer of receiving the Lord. I said, well, you may as well get the Holy Ghost too. Be filled with the Holy Ghost. He's still kind of drunk, so he's praying real loud in tongues. I said, we'll go up to my apartment, you know, and pray, you know. So I took him up there and it was kind of late, you know. So by that time, it's probably 11 or a little after. So I took him into my apartment. We spent about 15 or 20 minutes just praying in tongues. And I talked to him about the Holy Spirit. And I gave him a couple of tapes about the Holy Spirit and sent him home for the night. I said, see if you can contact me tomorrow. And I don't know where, you know, where he lived for sure, because apparently he didn't live over there, so he went some other way. So he ends up getting set, for sure got saved. I don't know if he was saved before or not, but or had ever, prayed to receive the Lord, rededicated his life to the Lord, got filled with the Holy Ghost. And he was very happy. Yeah, I was very happy too, but I'm just talking about the suddenly. Sometimes the Holy Ghost can come. Just like that. That you'll be that testimony. I didn't know it was going to happen. I had no idea. I was like, wasn't my idea. But it was the Holy Ghost's idea. I'm just there. And I was just saying, sometimes we don't know what to pray or how to even help somebody. But I knew this much. If I pray in tongues, I'm praying the perfect will of God, even for him. And boom, God set him free. God, gave him that experience, the power of God. That's what I'm talking about. That knocked him down. He will never forget the power of God that touched him. See, just like the other lady, the power of God that came and brought peace. The power of God that comes and sets us free. See, that's to be a witness to the Lord. He said, you're going to receive power when the Holy Ghost comes upon you. Hallelujah. This is good news. They were all filled, it said, with the Holy Ghost. They began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Thank you, Lord. How many are thankful that you've been filled with the Holy Ghost? Amen. The Holy Spirit, the power of God, the life of God that moved on the inside of you, that you are a witness, that God's got a plan for you. He's got a purpose wherever you go. You're a testimony. You're a fire for him. You're a light. Hallelujah. Praise God. If we go down to verse 37 of chapter 2. Hallelujah. Now, first of all, Peter preaches. He's filled with the Holy Spirit. He gives this, and they're coming to the Lord. And verse 37, now when they heard this, what Peter had preached, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and unto the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, repent, be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are far off, as many as the Lord our God shall call. So the Holy Spirit is not just for some. It wasn't just the day of Pentecost, but it says, for this promise to you, to your children, and to all that are far off, as many as our God shall call. Every person can be filled with the Holy Spirit. Not just us, all those that are born again. Now, they don't have to receive it because the Holy Spirit is a gentleman and he'll never force anyone. But if you invite him, he said he would come. Hallelujah. In Matthew, I'm thinking of a verse in Luke 11:13. Says, if ye then being evil know how. Now, I know it's talking about prayer here, but it says, if ye then being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? And we're saying it's for any person. If you ask him, he will fill you. Now, I know I'm talking to all of you, but there's other people that we're going to come in contact with. We need to realize, how do I receive that gift? How does that gift come? It comes by asking. We know that he saved us. We thank him for that. And we just ask him. Say, Father, I need that power. I need that power in my life. And if we've received that power, then we need to say, Lord, help me allow that power to work in me. How is it going to work in us? By praying in the Holy Ghost. It's going to work in us by us yielding over to him, listening to him, being obedient to his lead. Saying, Holy Spirit, be my teacher. Holy Spirit, be my guide. Holy Spirit, help me to hunger for God. Create in me, O God, a right spirit. Renew it within me, Lord. Fill me anew. Fill me fresh. Hallelujah. We can be filled fresh and anew, and we can stir him up. I like Ephesians chapter 5. Let's go to verse 17. It says, wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Well, praise the Lord. Here's another place. He said it's for all, right? In Acts 38. For all that are far off, but here it is too. Understand the will of the Lord. And don't be drunk with wine where is an excess. But be filled with the Spirit. Hallelujah. Acts 5, this is Ephesians 5, 18. But be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing, making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. So we can see here, he said, and be not drunk with wine in excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Or if you look into the Greek, it says be being filled. Be continually filled with the Spirit. How? Speaking in tongues, speaking with spiritual songs and hymns, singing, hallelujah, making melody in our heart that the Father will come. God comes, amen, making melody in our heart to the Lord. My wife knows this. Sometimes I have a new song. Or I just start singing a song. I'm making a melody in my heart to the Lord. And she'll say, well, and I'll say, well, don't you know that song, honey? No, I don't know that song. Where'd you learn that one? I learned it from spending time with him. I learned it from what came on up out of the inside. Hallelujah. That song of the Lord that will come to you. Joy unspeakable and full of glory. The song that encourages you, that strengthens you. I've got different ones. Some of them don't even make, you know, I don't know how you put music to them. And some of them may not make sense to you, but they do to me. You know, hallelujah. Because they're of us. They're from him. And we can make a melody in our heart. We can write Psalm 151, glory to God, from your own heart. There's only 150 psalms, by the way. So that's why I'm saying that. Some people may not realize, but there's 150 psalms. You can write Psalm 151. The Psalm of Sister Diana, you know, or the Psalm of Brother Terry. You know, it doesn't have to be necessarily put to music, but you know, it's like a hymn. It can be like a spiritual poem or something like that. You know, just words that come out of your heart that are unto him. And we can do that all the time, anytime, wherever we are as the Lord. You know, we spend time with him. And then these things come up, just a joyful song, a joyful heart. Hallelujah. Why? Because you're building up yourself on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, singing, amen, speaking to ourselves in a psalm and a hymn and a spiritual song. You may never record, you may never sing in public, but you're singing unto the Lord out of our own heart, that spiritual song, making melody in our heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God the Father in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Our Lord, you know, submitting ourselves one to another. But what do you mean? The body of Christ. We're submitting to the gifts that are in each other. Why? So that we are built up together and we are one body. And we begin to say, yes, I have a supply. You have a supply. We each bring our supply. And together we supply the body of Christ with all that we need to bring forth the harvest. That's what he's talking about. That's what Pentecost was all about, the spring harvest. To bring forth the fullness of the power of God and the presence of God, that all things be possible. Hallelujah. Glory to God. That's better than the first time I preached on the power of God, I'll tell you that. Amen. That's what he's talking about. The day of Pentecost, the time the Holy Spirit was sent, the time the Holy Spirit came for the first time to indwell man. Know ye not that you're the temple of God, the Spirit of God dwells in you? Don't you know? Don't you realize the very life of God is in us? The very fire of God is in us. The very power of God. We are a testimony. You are a light. You're a testimony of all that God is. Amen. I don't care what you are. If you're the little toe on the body of Christ, you're a testimony for Jesus. You've got more power than all the power of the devil because he's under our feet. Amen. Hallelujah. You are well able to take the land. There's no fear that lives in you. There's nothing that you can't do. There's not any ability that is withdrawn from you because the power of God lives in you. The very life of God, the very nature of God. The Holy Ghost comes and empowers that very nature to cause you to be that testimony and that witness for the Lord wherever you go. Hallelujah. Amen. Maybe you say, well, I don't know. But I believe all of us see. People watch you, whether you realize it or not. They say the average person is influences 144 people in their life. You're an influence to people around you, whether you realize it or not. See, I'm an influence. I have to be real careful. I'm the pastor. You know, I'm supposed to influence people to worship God, to know God, to come to God, to begin their develop that relationship with God. So we are an example. You're an example to those around you. You know, in the very life of God, if there's a real emergency, they'll find you. They'll find you. What I found out is sometimes, you know, people, once they know, oh, they know God. Okay. You know, and maybe they weren't interested today, but tomorrow they might be, because they may come in and slap their candy bar on the counter and they need a touch from God. Would you pray? Would you pray? Yeah, I'll pray. It's not the big fancy prayer. It's not the one that, you know, it's not something that has to be, you know, all flowery and filled with everything of the Word of God. Well, I don't know very much. Well, do you know, can you say, peace, Lord, I pray for peace. Be healed. Can you say, be healed, I pray for healing, Lord, and let him come. Can you say, be delivered? Just a couple of words and he will come because his power lives on the inside of you and you're that testimony and you're the one that he's going to flow through to bring forth the glory of God into the earth. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Father, I thank you for the great Holy Spirit that's in us, Lord. And I thank you that you've empowered us. I thank you, Lord, that you've given all of us the divine ability to fulfill whatever it is that you've called each one to do. And that, Father, each of us has a supply. And that you stir us up and that you strengthen us, Lord, to allow the fire and the light of God and the life of God to begin to come forth to all those about us. Father, that wherever we are, no matter what we're doing, we are a testimony of Jesus. Hallelujah. We are a witness, Father. We are one that can stand there and we die to our flesh to allow the life of God to come forth. We let you purge out of us, Lord, every idol, every evil way, everything that's not of you. And you bring us into everything that Jesus is. And you show him to us in such a light and in such a way that we are a witness. I've seen him. I know him. You can have him too. I thank you, Father, that we'll be a light, we'll be a testimony. We'll have suddenlies in our life, Father, that we will be those that are of you, Father, your sons and daughters, that bring forth the testimony and the witness of Jesus. Thank you for sending the promise of the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Father, for Pentecost. Thank you, Father God, for bringing about your very life on the inside of us to indwell us and be with us forever. We love you, Lord. We thank you and we give you glory. And Father, I ask for all the people today that you bring a refreshing, a strengthening, Father. Those that are weary, Father, fill afresh and anew today. Touch in Jesus' name. Come, Holy Spirit, and fill us fresh and help us to stay filled with you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. That right now I pray, Lord, that the stresses of the world would just fall off of people, Lord, right now. All of our people, Lord. And there'd be a peace that passes understanding that will move in, Lord. That will rise up from within. I thank you, Holy Spirit. And if there's any sickness, Lord, that their spirit man would rise up and ooze into their body and bring health and bring strength and bring life. In the mighty name of Jesus, we thank you for it, Lord. We thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. And I hope we were a little bit inspired today. I know it was a little bit more preaching than teaching today, but it was really good for the Holy Ghost. I believe he wants to inspire us and remember today to celebrate the great Holy Ghost came. He filled me. I don't want to forget it, Lord. I want to use that gift. I want to let the tongues come out. I want to let the love flow. I want to let the peace flow. Father, I want to be a testimony of you. Teach me, Lord. Amen. Help me to stay full. Speaking in tongues. Amen. And in spiritual songs and hymns, that I would know the will of God is to be filled with him.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Amen.